Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
1, 2, 1, 2. Check it out.
It's the guys next door.
Check it out,
y'all.
Only you to enjoy.
Yo, get live. Nobody fly it and fly ride. Couple guys from the city and you know Mac Wiles we own. Life of the party, my boy home. That's Miles Jones.
Jones,
I'm Clara.
Shay, you get to say it today.
Hey, I'm Shay Mills.
And we are the guys next door. Shay, that sounded good. That sounded good, Shay. We might have to let you do that more often.
Okay.
No, me neither. I was lying. I was testing out the lies.
You can't renege now. See, I already said it.
So no, I didn't renege. I was lying. I was blatantly lying.
I took it as the truth. Shouldn't lie.
Anyway, Che is sitting in for Mac Wiles because well, y'all know at this point, it's been almost 2 years. Y'all know Mac Wiles. There's always a reason. But we first and foremost want to thank you guys for rocking with us as long as you have. Thank you guys. We appreciate every listen, every subscription, every Patreon dollar spent, every comment, every listener letter. We appreciate you guys for just listening to three idiots and a really, really smart girl. So we appreciate that. So make sure you continue to support us at Guys Next Door on all social media platforms at Guys Next Door. If you're on Twitter and want to continue the conversation, use the hashtag Guys Next Door. Now, for all you Hakeems, all you freeloaders, all you Kimmy Gibblers, you moochers, those who just like to get the content for free and don't put no snaps on the Petro, cut that shit out. It's ghetto. So what am I saying? I'm saying go to patreon.com/guysnextdoorpod. Put some snaps on the Petro. Put 5 on it. Put 20 on it. We got exclusive content over there. Video of all the episodes. We're giving away free little mugs and little shout out to everybody who's been posting pictures of their mugs. Whatever else Che and Ryan come up with to give y'all, because they do a really good job of keeping y'all laced over there. So remember, patreon.com/guysnextdoorpod. If you ain't got it, because I understand it's a pandemic and you just want to listen to us for free, well, guess what? You could do that on all streaming platforms. But all we ask is that if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, just leave a comment, something nice, preferably, leave 5 stars rating and subscribe. That's all we ask for you to do. Ryan, is that too much to ask?
No, not really. If they want to leave a little snack, I'll leave my Cash App, a little something. Dollar.
Did you win that one?
Yeah, I did.
You did, didn't
dollar.
You?
$2. I'm here for it.
Well, whatever. We are back. We are back with another episode. And y'all know when we have guests, it's nothing short of amazing, and that's not gonna stop. I have been a huge fan and supporter of this guy for, I wanna say, the better part of like 8 or 7 years since the show's been on. I remember me and my baby mother, when we was married, watching this show. This is actually how we like got out of one of our fights. So shout out to you, sir. But we have, from Marriage Boot Camp, all of the editions, we got Dr. Ish. Dr. Ish, what's going on?
Not much. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me, man. And I appreciate you watching and rocking with the show, man. I like to hear those stories.
I'm telling you, yeah. And now, obviously, we didn't work out in the long run, but that show, the first season got us out of an argument. Like, we was really beefing, and she was like, come watch this. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. And I've been tuned in ever since. Like, I'm talking about every season. I don't care who's on. It could be Midget Edition. I don't care. I'm watching. I just want to know, how did you get into that? How did you get that position over there?
Man, it's so funny, man. I was watching, and before I get into that, let me just say, sometimes the best outcome for a relationship, man, is knowing how to break apart successfully. So, you know, just because you and baby mama didn't work out, that don't mean it was a fail, right? That can still be big W, because, you know, that's just the way.
Doc, I be trying to tell him. Sometimes you just gotta let him go. Gotta let him go sometimes.
Right. Your name isn't Doctor. Your name is Fly Rye. It's not Doctor.
I was talking to Doc. Okay.
but yeah, man, I had just come off of it was a show called Exile with Carmen Electra, and we shot it in the Dominican Republic. I literally just got back. I've been back for a week doing that one, and the phone call came in, and they were like, "Hey, this is what's happening. This is what's changing. Can you be in LA in a week?" I was like, all right. So I jumped on a plane, and 10 seasons later, here we are. You know?
All right. I thought, off the top of my head, I wanted to say 10, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
Now, you are coming off of, as a watcher, I would say one of the most controversial and eventful seasons. Yeah. How do y'all deal with that? And it's in a pandemic. So I did see some of the things that y'all had to shoot, and you were like at home, and right. Like Judge Lentola was at home. How do y'all deal with such a big season like that in the middle of a pandemic?
It was a lot, man. The season itself went viral, man. Every week the numbers just kept going higher and higher. And it was so heavy, you know. So we shot it before everything popped off with the pandemic and, you know, and the cultural stuff and George Floyd stuff and everybody's, you know, and everybody's world came crashing down around them. But it felt like we were shooting it in real time because everybody's issues were so intense. You know what I mean?
Kind of like that guy who just came in with the fire, like intense like that. The guy who.
Right.
that's Mac Wilds, Dr. Ish. That's Mac Wilds.
Hey, man. How you doing, Mac?
What's going on, Dr. Ish?
With the
fire. How you doing? So yeah, it was.
My bad. I had a. I'm well, man. God is good.
Good.
Yo, Mac, we only need headphones today.
Huh?
We use just the headphones today.
Okay.
But yeah, man, it was. Luckily for us, we had everything shot and in the can before everything jumped off. So it was only a little bit of stuff we had to do from home. But you know, during the season, man, me and Judge are really good friends. So we're probably on the phone two or three times a week, just kind of game planning on, you know, how does this week's episode look, and, you know, and trying to manage some of the fallout, and, you know, and after the show, I end up doing a lot of therapy with the cast members. You know, they want to continue on and they want to say, yeah. And so, you know, couple times a week, I'm on the phone with somebody just trying to help them work through some stuff. So, which is cool because it lets me know that, hey, they, you know, they got something out of it. They thought there was some value there and they want to continue on. But
I need you to get Mouse on this show. He's against therapy. And I feel like sometimes
it's couples therapy. I'm not doing it.
He needs Doc. He needs something, man. He needs
Mouse,
little,
you anti-therapy, man?
Anti-therapy.
I am anti therapy for me, but I'm not anti-therapeutic means. Like, I have a heavy bag in the backyard that we know, me and her know each other very well.
Good.
It's a girl. I didn't know it was a girl.
No, it's not. It's a man.
Oh, okay.
It's fluid. It's fluid.
It's fluid. It's fluid.
It's non-binary. My heavy bag is non-binary. That's where I'm gonna go with that, because I ain't like the spin you put on that, Mac. I ain't like that.
Hey, it was just a question. I came in late. I thought I missed something.
It's a non-binary heavy bag, Dr. Ish.
That's a part of it, man. You start with the physical, and you'll work your way to it, man. It's a process.
But I am anti. Let me not front. I'm anti-therapy for me. I understand how good and how needed it is in our community, especially for Black men. Me personally, I just feel like at this point, I've compartmentalized. I swept it under the rug, and I'm me, and I will figure it out. So yeah, that's where I'm at with it. But I tell if somebody feels like they need it, go see somebody, please.
I'm telling you need it. Go see somebody.
Well, how was your last therapy session?
I mean,
thanks.
I had to go to one before surgery. Actually.
That was physical therapy.
No, it wasn't. They had to make sure my mental was right before I had surgery.
They want to make sure you wasn't giving up a kidney under duress.
Yeah, somebody forcing me to do surgery.
Under duress.
So I actually did see someone, and I'm open to it. I said this before. You're the only person that's not open to it.
Doctor, this isn't feeling like a safe space.
Here's what I would tell you.
There we go.
It's not what you think, right? Okay. It's not the uncomfortable, awkward walk in. Tell me about your grandma. Tell me about the thing that kid said in the fifth grade that time. You know, it's none of that. It can be as deep or as light as you want it, right? Most of the time, folks come into therapy when they got an issue in life that they're just trying to get through. It's like, hey, you know what? I lost a job. Now I'm trying to find a new place. Life seems to be spinning out of control a little bit. What can I do? Give me some tools, you know? Most folks come in for 3 months at a time. Quick burst, 3 months, once per week. Hey, I just need help getting over this one thing, and then I'm out. You know, it's like a little tune-up. And so it can be as, you know, use it to your advantage, man. It can be as deep and heavy or as, you know, or as tool-focused and short-term focused as you want. And with you know, speaking of your compartments, you're talking to the compartmentalizing king right now, right? what I will tell you is there will come a time in life where you figure out when it's time to empty each compartment, and then you will figure out the best way to do that in order for you to move forward to the next level of who you're going to, of your evolution. It's a process. It's going to happen in time, and you'll know when it's ready.
Amen.
See, I'm going to be super honest, right? And I don't know if I said it here before, but I'm going to be super honest. I'm not scared.
Sounds like it to me. Sounds.
I am worried that one, what if I need those things that, you know, people are saying you need to let go of? What if I need me personally, right? Like, and everybody is different and everybody can say, oh, well, you don't need this. You got to let go. What if I need those things, right? What if I need the traumatic things and the pain and all? What if I need, because that's what I've been using for the past 31 years. And then I'm also worried about, I'm not sure if we open, and I don't know, right? Because I've never sat in therapy with you, but I'm pretty sure most therapists are going to say, well, you need to let things out. I'm worried that if I let these things out, that there's no putting a lid back on this thing. And that's no good for anyone around me.
Yeah. Well, that's the big worry that most folks have, because the pain is so deep and the pain is so baked in that once we pop the lid, we don't know if we can put the top back on. But once you find the person who you feel comfortable with, who you feel comfortable being vulnerable with, who you feel like, you know, this person sees me and they get it and I don't have to do any over explaining. And once you do it the first time, man, and you walk out, you know, feeling about 2 or 3 inches taller and 10 pounds lighter, you're going to be like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. this works. But you know, the thing I would tell for us, man, for Black men in particular, the one of the big holdups, one of the big barriers for us is, you know, it's like, okay, who am I going to go see who's going to get me? You know what I mean? Who I don't have to over explain. So, okay, well, you know, this is what being Black means to me. And I don't have to give them a tutorial and what it means to be me. Right. So, you know, so you got to see a few different people, man. It's not a, you know, 3% of the psychiatrists in the country are Black, even less are Black men. So, it's like dating, man. You're going to have to see a few different people before you find the one who you feel like, okay, that person, I can rock with that person. So, you know, make a couple, 3 or 4 different appointments, have, you know, see each one and say, okay, that's a no. This one here I can rock with. But you'll know when you find that person, you know, when it's ready. Ain't no rush to it. The universe has a way of making that happen when it's time, you know?
You hear that, Ryan? There's no rush. So get up off of me.
This is what it was.
Get off of me.
This was the Lord saying it's time. You see how Dr. Ish here this was him telling us it's time. And I don't want you to just throw yourself into a session like, I have to go. I want it to be the right time, but I also want you to like understand what he said. It's not going to be the best the first, second, or third time. I just need you to try, bro.
When did this become the mouse intervention?
This is my one time I can actually have a pre-session. But we've all said this.
Mouse Jones, I feel like you've set yourself up. This is amazing.
Because we said we wanted to do an episode with a therapist.
We did. But I didn't know
that. You set it up.
I didn't know this was the one. I just wanted to talk to Dr. Ish. I didn't know. All right. Okay.
That's how it's supposed to feel in therapy. Like you're just having a good conversation.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm getting jumped. Anyway, moving on. Sounds like an unwarranted threesome. Back up all that. Oh, Mac, that's funny. That's rich, Mac Wiles. That's rich.
Just saying. Take him to the office.
Want to get the therapy room right, you know?
But let's do that, right? I do think that's dope. So let's do that. Before we get there, we have to do the service to our listeners and our community and the people that watch or the people that have heard anything about this season. So there was a few things that happened this season that was quite controversial. Obviously, let's jump into the one that's right there. I had an opportunity to have either one of them on the show, but I was like, I don't want it to become something that gets muddied. So I was like, let me just, if I could get Dr. Ish, I'd much rather get Dr. Ish.
Yeah.
On the episode in particular, Tahiri and Vado are there as a couple. Right. There's a physical altercation.
Right.
Only one of them was punished, quote unquote, because we're talking about adults, but only one of them was reprimanded for the altercation. So as the person in charge, as the therapist, as the person in charge of keeping everyone safe, why was there more onus put on Vado than equally?
Yeah, that's a good question. And obviously the thing that he did wasn't equal to what she did, obviously, right? First thing. And then the other thing is, it's a fair question because what you guys got to see was that him being made out to be the bad guy, everything was on him and nothing on her, which didn't happen. So, it's a tough spot to be in because as a psychiatrist, board certified psychiatrist, my job is to do the hard thing for people, right? And so it's like when a kid comes in the first week and I've seen them and they got a little bruise and whatever, get your Adderall and keep it pushing. Then the next month kid comes back in and they got another bruise on a different part. It's like, fell off the bike again, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. But then the third month in a row, the kid comes back in and now it's, so now we got a problem. Now I got to talk to the kid by themselves, right? Mom, if you don't mind, I want to have a conversation. Oh, why is that? Well, because I'm the doctor. Some stuff I need to ask them. Okay. Kid says, well, you know what? Dad kind of gets rough sometimes. And this is the thing that happens. So now my job is to call Child Protective Services. Right. And nobody is happy.
Right.
Kids crying because they know they can't go home tonight. Mom's furious because how dare you talk to my kid alone and take, and remove my child from the home. Dad's on the phone. He's in the truck and he's coming down. He's going to beat my ass, right? Everybody's pissed. And so it's the same situation, a domestic violence situation, man. Nobody's happy, right? The rule says you remove the aggressor from the situation, whoever is the most violent. Mm. Most of the time in a domestic violence situation, they're both violent, just like we had here, right? So you take the guy out of the situation and then whoever he was beating, they end up fighting the police. They end up fighting because that's what happens. So they were both wrong. Neither one of them are villains. Both of them were very, very injured and had some unhealed wounds. Tahiri was wrong first, right?
Okay.
Tahiri, she demeaned him and she diminished him and she belittled him and she emasculated him at every turn. And that's what he was feeling from the time they walked into the house. So this day in particular, it was just me on set. Judge was sick. And so she had been escalating, saying some really nasty stuff. And then she pushed a chair on him. And when they were doing when the whole apples thing jumped off, right. I was in the room next door getting set up. And so before they come in, somebody runs and says, hey, she just threw these apples at him. I was like, okay, I'm going to address it when they come into the room. When I get to them, I'm going to talk about her throwing the apples. Before I could have that conversation with both of them, everything popped off. So after the conversation, now it's like, okay, what do we got to do? Well, first things first, got to make sure everybody's safe. Votto, hey, you did the choking. You got to go over here. Now we're going to make sure she's cool. And so with Medicine Man, Mouse, and guys, it's a matter of timing and dosage, right? If you have, if you've got pneumonia and you come to me and I'm like, yeah, you got pneumonia, chest x-ray says you got pneumonia, your white blood cell count is up. I'm not going to give you any medicine. We're just going to see how it goes. That don't really do you any good, right? Or if I give you an antibiotic and it's the wrong dose, doesn't do you any good. So it's got, I got to give it to you at the right time, at the right dose. So for her, when's the right time to tell her what part she played in the cycle of violence, right? Mm. Is it while she's getting choked out? And I'm like, hey, Tahiri, you know what? Hey, darling, let me tell you, you know, the reason why he's got his hands on your neck right now is because, right? It's not the right time, right? And so, but if you wait too long, now she can't connect the dots because she plays a part in that too, right? And she obviously did. We all get to see it. And so that following day was when I addressed it with her. And then the following days is when I addressed it all with the group. Unfortunately, you guys didn't get to see that. That part didn't make it to air, but we did, you know, we saw the Votto piece. So my decision was, I don't want either one of them to have to continue to go through with this. So instead of just being peace with everybody, let's figure out how we can let them both stay on the show, how we can let them both get some type of tools to make it not happen again. And, you know, and quite frankly, how can we not disrupt either one of their money? Because if they got to leave the show, then, you know, then all that leaves. And so I felt like it was the fairest thing. I didn't like how he was made out to be the total villain, because Votto's not an asshole at all. Votto's a cool dude. I mean,
he's actually a really nice guy.
We all know that. Cool, and that's totally not who he is. You know what I mean? Which was so shocking. I was like, where did this come from? He was like, I have no idea. I was like, well, let me tell you where it come from, because you've been trying to sit on this thing for the whole time. And so, it was an unfortunate situation. I don't like the way that we didn't get to see all the work we did with her afterward, because it was a lot, kind of holding her responsible too. But then obviously, you know, at no point, you know, so some of the blowback is, well, she, you know, she deserved it. She should have, you know, she had it coming, da 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 da, which is a ridiculous thing to say, right? At no point can we have the conversation about what are acceptable levels of violence towards women. That's just not a conversation I'm going to have, period. That's not how I was raised. It's not, if that is your thing, if that's how you rock, do your thing. I'm not here to change your mind, but that's just not what we're doing. But we do need to have the conversation about the cycle of violence and the part everybody plays in it, because it takes two people to do that.
Is there a moment, and I guess I'm asking in regards to Votto, but just overall, because we do acknowledge that isn't Votto. Like, Votto, I don't think anyone who knows him or spend any time around him would identify him as a woman.
Totally out of character for him.
So for, exactly, right? So we hear that term, out of character.
Yeah.
So when we hear that, what is that, at least in your studies and in your experience, what is that moment where somebody gets to that, I guess for lack of a better term, breaking point where you get out of character, right, and maybe lash out in a physical manner towards the other?
So that's a great question, Mouse. That means that there is some stuff going on with you that you have not become aware of, and you thought you were doing a really good job compartmentalizing it and putting it in a box and putting it on a shelf, but you really, really haven't, right? And so we've all got these things, especially us as Black men. We've all got that thing that we're pretending not to know about ourselves.
Holy right? Shit.
You know what I mean? And so for Votto, so here's the situation. Okay. Right? Here's the situation with Votto. This is the girl from around the way. I've been knowing her ever since I was, you know, knee high, and I've seen all the dudes she's dated, and I've seen her get dogged out, and I've seen her do some dogging, but that's, I think I could be her dude, right? And so now I finally get the chance. And I finally get to be with her, but now the way she deals with me doesn't look like the way she dealt with all those other guys. And so now I'm wondering what's up with that. She don't look like she loved me like she loved them, right? She don't look like she's as into me as she was into Joe and whoever else, right?
Right,
and so
right.
All that played into Votto's, and I'm saying Votto, but we all have it. I yeah. have it. Everybody has this. Everybody suffers in some degree from that never enoughitis, right? Who I am isn't enough for you. And so when Tahiri showed up and she said, Votto, you're the brokest dude I ever dated. You need to grow up. He's looking. She don't look at me the way she looks at the other ones of them. Another thing, the other thing I hate that you guys couldn't see was some of the private stuff me and Votto did, because it was super real. He told me one day, he was like, Doc, honestly, I feel like I'm the woman in this relationship because I'm showing up trying to be vulnerable and share all this stuff. And it feels like no matter what I do, it's not enough for her, right? And so when she shows up and she confirms that for him, it goes into that place where he don't want to talk about, which is maybe who I am isn't enough for her. And boom, over time, right, it explodes. And it's not a private thing they're doing, right? They're doing it in a house for like 8 other people and 200 crew members and 20,000 cameras. So that's a lot. And so, and it was a tick, tick, boom moment for him.
That's like, to me, it's like that whole growing up and that's your trophy. Like you see right. everybody have it and right. you're like, if I get it, I know I'm going to treat it right. I know we're going to be perfect. I know we're going to do this. And then you finally get it and it ain't what you want. Like I tell people all the time, like your favorite celebrities and your favorite rappers and singers are amazing artists, but you would hate to chill with them. So what you see on TV right. isn't your reality. So when you say that about that was like the, it's basically the woman he looked up. That was the woman of his dreams. Right. And by the time it got to right. his reality, it was like she went through all the good dreams and now she hit the bad one and you, it's all reflected on you.
You got it. That's well said. And then the other thing was he was watching her. So he knew what Tahiri at 20 in love looks like. I'm like, Votto, she ain't 20 no more, right? Like, love looks very different from 20 at 30, right? So she's a different woman now. So you got to understand that too. But if I'm really thinking that, hey, I'm reaching to be with this person, I'm trying, you know, this is my pinnacle. This is my ultimate. This is my dream woman. Then there's a little bit of doubt in my mind. So what I'm really looking for is the evidence to say that, hey, yeah, I knew it. Who I am wasn't enough. I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it was coming anyway. And once that happened, man, boom, things just exploded. You know, Tahiri's got a lot of unhealed trauma. She's got a lot of work she still needs to do. And the brain is tricky, man. It will trick you into, even if something is hurting you, if it's the thing you've always done, your brain doesn't want to give it up. We don't like to lose stuff. Anything that we lose or get rid of or shared or shed, our brain thinks is a loss and we feel less than. So for somebody who's in an abusive relationship, and that's your patterns, you know, relationship after relationship, whether it's, you know, whatever his name is, once you show up and that's not there, you feel like something's wrong. So you're going to start to subconsciously do some things to provoke your partner, because once you see the anger, once you see the drama, okay, yeah, now this feels right. You know what I mean? And so we don't want to get rid of the thing, even if getting rid of it makes us feel better. It's just weird how your brain does that.
Damn.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, I got some ex-girlfriends I should call.
So okay, because you said something that never enough itis. I want to come back to that, but I definitely want to add. So just to clear it, because I think a lot of people were under the guise that, like you said, like a lot of things weren't shown, and obviously Votto was made to look out like. So you weren't happy with that either, the way that was cut.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the last episode. We didn't get him to talk. I wanted him to come on and do a Facebook Live with me after that last episode, but he was in the air and we couldn't get it scheduled. Because he had, you know, he's got something to say too, right? And it all goes back to the thing we said when we first jumped on, you know, black guys don't go to therapy. Well, because we don't feel we get a fair shake every single place we show up. And, you know, lo and behold, we show up and this is the situation here. So I was like, Votto, man, here's the deal. What you did was dead wrong. Obviously, getting hit with a piece of fruit doesn't equate on no day to choking somebody out. But still, right, you still deserve to have a voice, because there's a lot of guys who feel like you felt, right? So Tahiri was addressed. We didn't get to see it. You know, I talked to her about it. She'll tell you that. You know, obviously, Votto was addressed, and that's what you guys got to see. But I think the larger issue, man, that I probably was a little bit surprised about was how many guys felt like Votto feel in their relationship. You know what I mean? So the numbers say, you know, domestic violence is always about 60%, you know, man on woman, 40%, woman on man, but it's probably a lot more equal to that because I have never seen a domestic violence situation mm-hmm. where it's only one side. It usually goes both ways, right?
Do you feel like those statistics are more physical than mental?
Oh, right. They're absolutely more physical because nobody 200%. Reports, right? Nobody reports how many times a week you call me a bitch, right? Nobody reports how many times you neglected me. You told me I was fat. You told me I was ugly. You know, nobody reports all that stuff. And the other thing, guys don't report, guys underreport for sure. How many guys you know going to show up, call the police and be like, she hit me?
That's a fact. It's a masculinity thing.
I like that.
Right. Right. Yeah, so guys underreport. And that's a part of, it's one of those things as a culture that we got to work on that, you know, sometimes as Black folks, we have some very antiquated ideas of what relationship roles look like because we have antiquated ideas of what masculinity looks like, right? You know, the thing we get celebrated for, we got to show up like LeBron. We got to be 6'5" and 200 pounds and can run real fast or jump real high. And that's the thing we've traditionally been celebrated for with our strength. But our real strength comes in our emotional strength, man, and our resilience. And so we got to, you know, that's one of those things we got to work on shifting.
Wow. Wow. Doctor, you deep. Like, you not no TV therapist. Like, you really you the real fucking.
So I'm about to say, bro, I'm sitting here like, God dang.
Now you said that
call a therapist right now. I got some things I gotta talk about.
You said that never enough itis shit. My soul, yeah. My heart turned this way. Like everything is working right? backwards right now since
yeah,
that.
Man.
So you said okay. So you said I want to, because I think it ties into it. I want to talk about that. Emasculation, right?
Yeah.
That takes place. I've only dated Black women, so I can only speak to what goes on in Black relationships that I've experienced. And it seems that it happens in the Black relationship a lot more than happens anywhere else. That could be a number fudge or that could be the truth. In your experience, why do you think that emasculation happens? And what else does it lead to outside of just the obvious, you know, domestic violence?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, it leads to the destruction of Black relationship. And if you don't have a healthy relationship with the person who you love and who's supposed to be loving you, life is very limited at that point. And so it doesn't happen by accident, right? It happens on purpose. It's what we were taught. You know, my family got here in 1671 from Barbados with their slave master at the time.
Right.
And it's what we were taught from day one. We were taught how to diminish each other. Right. We were immediately pitted against each other. Light skinned dude against the dark skinned dude. Big dude against the little dude. Mm-hmm. The one who, you know, who can sneak off and read a few words versus the one who can't. Right. And so that's, you know, in the house versus in the field. And so we get that set up. Right. You know, we were emasculated as men from the time we were here. And guess who saw that? Our women saw that. Right.
Mm.
And so our women understand if I have a son, the way for him to stay safe and to stay alive is to show up somehow less than a man. You can't use your full grown man voice. You can't use your full grown man strength because they will come out here and they will slay you for that. Right. And so it starts from there. Now, fast forward 4 generations, 5 generations later, who's in school more than who goes to school more? Who goes to college more? Black men or Black women?
Black women.
Right. Who's got the better credit scores? Black men or Black women?
Black women.
Speak for yourselves. Speak for yourselves, all right?
Hey, relax.
My credit is up and my degree is amazing. All right. Yeah, you're right. All right, Doc. My fault.
Who's signing for the apartment? Whose name's on the card note? Whose name's on the house, right? Who's got the better job, right? And so it's real hard. And I got 5 sisters, man, 8 aunts. So what I can tell you is it is really hard for Black men to show up and figure out why it is you need me.
Ooh, ooh shit.
You know what I mean?
And that's crazy.
Did you and Ryan text each other or something? Like, niggas is jumping me.
my guy right there.
It's real, man. And I can tell you because I've lived it too. You know what I mean? And it's real hard. And so, you know, sisters got to make an effort to help us, you know, to help us understand why they need us. Okay, I get it. You don't need me for the money. You got that. Great. Independent. Love it. What is it you need me for? Maybe it's my emotional strength, right? Maybe you like to bounce on it. Whatever that is, there's no wrong answer, but you can't be afraid to talk about it. And I think like, you know, with Votto and with a lot of us, we are not comfortable being vulnerable enough to ask that question. Hey, you know, this is, I know there's some things I can do well. I know there's some stuff that I don't do well, right? But I'm really having a hard time figuring out why it is you need me. Why am I the dude? You know, and if you can communicate with each other about that calmly, you can have a rock solid relationship. But if you can't talk about it, it's always going to be the elephant in the room. And when little things start to pop off, they're going to be really big things because you never talked about that underlying issue.
Okay, Doc, I have a question, right?
Yep.
I think now being in a relationship, we all have gone through the regular, antiquated, quote unquote, quintessential ways of getting into a relationship. You see a girl, you like a girl, you like, yo, you want to be my girl. Y'all become boyfriend and girlfriend. In your opinion, like, what are the steps needed to build a very successful relationship?
Man, you know what? That's a really good question. I love that question. Because everybody will tell you, every relationship expert will tell you something different. Some folks will say, well, there's a 90-day rule, and you got to do this, and you got to go ABC. I don't think any of that is true, man. I got couples who went on a first date, slept together the first night. They've been married for 20 years, you know, just rocking solid. And I got folks who went through every single step, and in 3 years, they hated each other's guts. And so I think the big thing, you want to find somebody who you can be immediately vulnerable with, right? You don't have to put the shield up. I don't have to show up and be perfect. It's not about where I live. It's not about what I got on. It's not about the job. It's not about the car. It's just who can I, right? Everybody wants the same three things in a relationship, right? Whether we say it out loud or not, we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be understood. So it's about going through the process of feeling comfortable enough to let that person see you, all of you, and feel like they hear you so you can feel like they understand you. So the word is really vulnerability, man. And so one of the cool things that's happening now because of the pandemic is people are having to talk more. They're having to have more conversations. I can't hit you up online and meet up tomorrow night. There's some steps we got to put in between now. So now I got to get, oh, damn, I got to get to know you more now before we
do. It feels like when I was younger, like when we first got to talk on the phone, the only time you could just talk all night and you could text on, like, stuff like that. When it wasn't a social media, it wasn't a, oh, well, will you catch me here, see me when I'm outside. I was like, nah, I'm going to have this good conversation. I'm going to fall asleep on the phone with you. And I'm going to wake up like, damn, this is special type stuff. Now you got to really talk. See who got the real game. Who got the real game, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, with the pandemic going on, we got this invisible enemy out here. We don't know how to really fight that well, right? Now we got the cultural war going on. Hell, I may get in my car once a week for 20 minutes, maybe, because I don't want to get stopped and I don't want to get shot, right? And so we got this other fear going on. Now we got job stuff. Now we got money stuff. So it's like a mini existential crisis for everybody because we're really trying to figure out, what does my life really mean? You know what I mean? And what are those things of value? It's like when your house is burning down, what do? You reach for the things that have value. All right, got my lady right here, got my car keys, got my money, get the kids, and let's get up out of here. And we don't have time to think about anything else that's not adding value to our life. Same thing is happening with relationships. Think about how many friends over the last 6 months you have had very little time for because you realize they don't really add a whole lot of value to my life. You know what I mean? And so the same thing is happening in relationships. We have gotten much better figuring it out much quicker. Oh yeah, this person, I feel good. I like who I am when I talk to them, I get a text from them, when I feel. And if it's not there, it's just not there. We're pushing past it. So, you know, I think you got to trust your instincts on that one, Mac. You know, just whoever you can feel vulnerable with as quickly as possible and feel like, and here's the big thing for us as Black men, can I share with you the things that I have been ashamed of and trust you to handle that with love and care and tenderness and kindness.
That I feel like that's really deep for us because that's one of the main reasons we started this. Yeah. Like we started this podcast just to open up to each other and talk to each other as brothers and family and what we're going through, a relationship, whether it be with our parents or with our significant other, whatever it is. But we felt like there wasn't enough black men to speak out on that. And so by reassuring everything we already knew was true with you coming on here and teaching us even more things, and you see Mouse's face, he about to shed two tears because you talking to him. But it's just like it makes me think, like, it's not, I don't think that this is a job at what we do as being on this podcast, but it makes me feel like the things that we talk about and we do are really like not taken for granted, because there's somebody over us like you who's really telling us this is the right thing and this is true to talk and communicate.
Yeah.
This feels like outside of everything else that this episode or this past 30 minutes has been, this feels like what Ryan said, like this feels like confirmation. Like for the first time, I mean, outside of like seeing the letters and the adoration and, you know, being at the,
you know, what's crazy, Mouse? We just talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you said, you're like, nah, that's not me. Like, I don't need somebody to confirm that I'm doing a great job in this.
Affirmation.
And now you see it. It's literally less than 24 hours later. Yeah. We're having a similar conversation with someone who knows more than we know about the subject. And now it hits you. Yesterday it was I don't need that. And today it was, yo, it's good to feel that way. Like, we knew it was this, but it feels good when somebody says you're doing the right thing and speaking up for us as black men.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, before we go any further, thank you, Dr. Ish, for even taking time out to chop it up with us today. Thank you.
That's fine. Of course, man. I appreciate y'all having me on, man.
But we're not done. You
know. We're not done. They're pouring it on.
I'm gonna need this like monthly.
Yeah, please schedule us in. Schedule the guy that goes. We getting a little money.
We can give you the Patreon money.
Yeah, you can take.
We can give you the Patreon money. Please,
we'll just send it over. Just
don't take my money.
Don't even need it, man. Just shoot me a time.
I know you don't. You got 10 seasons of a show. I need it. You put me on the show. I'm gonna be your little assistant.
So I want to add something that probably is a little linear or probably drives this home for some of the listeners. On social media, specifically Twitter, there's this ongoing gender war, right? And I think Matt gets to live above it because when Twitter came out, he was already famous. I'm in the midst of it because I got my fame due in part to Twitter. Ryan gets to live under it. So
I don't get
you
none
know,
of it.
It all affects us differently, but it's like, there's this gender war, and if it's not $200 dates, it's gender norms, and it to me, it just seems like a bunch of people not dating other people who actually like them, but I think everybody's just trying to fit into this box. But what do you see it is that happens in the black community where there's always this pitting of the genders against one another?
I think as black people, man, we really struggle with helping each other feel good. You know? And I think the reason we struggle with it is because in order to help you feel good, you know, somebody's got to show up and be vulnerable. Somebody's got to show up and go first. Somebody's got to risk not getting loved back. Right. And we have been loved traditionally so little till that hurts us. You know, that hurts when that happens, right? When the worst part in any relationship is when you figure out that who I am isn't enough for this person, or this person don't love me like I love them, or they don't love me back at all. And so I think for us, the thing that drives the war, right? The thing that drives the angst and the clapbacks and the anger and the frustration. Well, those are all good emotions, but they're not primary emotions, right? Right. You got four primary emotions. You got happy, sad, fear, surprise. So what's driving it? Are you happy? Is that why you're out here? You know, you're doing your job? Well, no, you're not happy. Okay. Are you sad? Probably I'm a lot sad about it because I don't think there's enough for me to be happy. You know, does it surprise me anymore? No, but does it scare me? Yeah. So sad and fear because we don't have a lot of good models out there. You know, most of us didn't come from a happy home like Warden June Cleaver, right?
And boy, so I try to tell them, Doc.
Right?
I don't know one stand-up guy that I was raised around. Not one.
Right.
So that's I don't know one stand-up individual black male that was like, he was a perfect father and a perfect husband and a role model. It just, I just don't know.
So that's hard. And so now, as a 12-year-old boy who's starting to like who he likes, now you got to figure it out for yourself. And you're going to get your information from friends and, you know, and maybe from a coach or a school teacher. Like, where do you go to get that information? So nobody ever taught us how to love each other, man. You know, that's the problem, right? And so they didn't teach us how to love our women. And they damn sure didn't teach us how to love each other as brothers. And so I think in the culture we're currently living in, when we're talking about social media culture, it's a selfie culture. It's about me. I need to live my best life today. And if you're not helping me do that, then you must be standing in my way. So I need to be met, right? And so it's that whole thing. And we're feeling that it comes from a place of lack, right? When you talk about black relationships, you know, a lot of it comes from a place of lack. Half of us, hear the numbers, half of us out there, half the brothers are either dead or in jail by the time we're 21. Think about that number. Think about that number. So now, if you are a black woman, and every woman on the planet, black women are the least likely to date outside their race. So they're looking for us. They're looking for brothers, right? But half of us are gone. So there's some fear. Maybe there's not enough good guys to go around. So now the guys who are left, you know, okay, I got to find a guy who is not married, who ain't totally batshit crazy, and who actually likes women, right? Now I gotta find one of those. You know what I mean? And so the numbers don't work in their favor, man. So they're scared. They're sad about it. And
they work in my favor, Doc. They're working in my favor, Doc.
No, but talk, you know, I think you brought up a good point. I think so. Even with that, they start doing their own
compartmentalizing.
Compartmentalizing. There we go. I'm sorry. It was a brain fart. Mm-hmm. Compartmentalizing of their own feelings and their own fears. And instead of, like, you know, you listen to the Summer Walker song, instead of just trying to look for somebody who you can fall in love with and all of that, you're like, just might be a hoe, you know, might as well just, you know, look for a baller or something like that. So I can, you know, get these very superficial, feelings and thoughts off real fast. You know, I get a little bit of money out of it, but no, that's actually, wow. So Mac, thank you, right? Dr. Ish.
So Mac, what you're talking about is all those reasons to settle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, right? It's like, hey, you know what? I wanted a Benz, but I only got Honda money. So damn, I got to settle for the Honda. You know, I wanted a mansion, but I got trailer park money. So I got to settle. And so after you show up and have to settle in so many different areas of your life, after you've shown up and been disappointed so many times and you settle over and over again, it just makes you mad. You know, your head, you can wrap your head around it, but your heart always feels like it's being cheated out of something it really deserves. You know what I mean? And every time you show up and get reminded that you might not get it, it just pisses you off.
I give
and
up.
So what, right? So what's
I
your
give,
love story?
I give up. I'm leaving this chat. I give up. You're not, what?
Not going to talk to you like that, huh?
You're not going to talk to me about me, but not to me like this. Look, I'm the one in the middle, Dr. Ish. You're not going to talk to me like this. Damn.
Right? What? And so what we also, what we're talking about is your love story. What is your love story? We've all got a love story. If my love story is dating is fun, then I'm going to show up and I'm going to be subconsciously drawn to women who are fun, right? If my love story is all guys cheat and all men are dogs, I'm gonna subconsciously be drawn to guys who help my love story come true, because your brain wants to make you right all day, every single day.
My mother always taught me, when you go look at
something, I gotta lay here. This is crazy.
He's on the couch.
My boy gotta move. This is crazy.
That's what my mom always said. She said, when you go looking for something, you're gonna find it. So if you're looking for that cheating right. dude or that this unhonest individual, you're gonna find that person. Now, if you're looking to be happy and you want something to make you happy and make you smile and feel good,
that happiness is gonna come find you.
Absolutely,
it's gonna find you. Right? It's just your brain. That's how our brain works. Wow. It wants to make our. It's trying to make sense of our world. And if this is what we think about the world, then we're going to only pick up on those things that help that story come true. And so that's the heart of that self-sabotage, man. You really got to work on what you believe.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Why are you like this, Dr. Ish? Like, what led you to therapy? Just real fast. Hey, I know it's a long, I know that's probably like a long, complex, yeah. Like, yeah. What led you as a black man from Barbados, what led you to therapy?
Well, you know, I'm born and raised here, man, but that's where the foreparents were from, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, by way of Nigeria and all that. Oh, but wow. For me, man, you know, 5 sisters, 8 aunts, my mom and dad were together for 56 years before we lost her 8 years ago. So, you know, he dropped out of school in the 6th grade, wanted to be a math professor, had to drop out of school and sharecrop, made $6 a week. She was a cook at, you know, not a chef, a cook at schools, at wow. restaurants, that kind of thing, right? But when I look at us, right? I got a sister, my older sister put 3 kids through college. Boom, they're doing great. Next sister manages the post office. Boom, she's doing great. Next sister is a lawyer. Boom, doing great. My brother's a Marine. Boom, doing great. One sister, you know, is FBI. Boom, doing great. My baby sister's a psychologist. Boom, doing great. And so you're talking about the things that you can achieve in less than a generation if you just got some love and happiness and 2 folks who know with some common sense in the house. You know what I mean? And even if they can't be in the house, they can be in your life. And it makes all the difference, man. Just having an 8-year-old kid to look up and somebody can say, hey, you know what? I believe you can do it. You know what I mean? And let me tell you why. Who you are is enough. That was our thing. Our folks, at no day did we never not get that information. Hey, who you are is enough. You can go ahead and be anything you want to be, and there's nothing extra you got to do to get it. So I believe if you can be happy with the person you love, man, you know, that's the, if you are unhappy with the person you love, then pretty much everything else in your life is going to suck. You can have all the money you want, all the women you want. You can have all the clothes, all the cars, or whatever. But if you're not happy with that one person who's supposed to be loving you the most, you're going to be saying, you know what? Life's kind of hard. But flip the script. If you have no job, you got no money, you got a 500 credit score, right? You living in a, you know, in a box, you know.
Again,
in,
talking about
town, right?
I don't live in no box, bitch.
I know your credit score is 500.
Oh, my credit score is 500.
But that one person who's supposed to love you the most does, you're going to be like, you know what? Life's pretty good. And so if we can get that one thing right, it can change everything in your life. You know what I mean? So that's why it matters to me. And I think, you know, everybody deserves to show up and be able to feel good about who they are. You know, why do I not get to show up and feel good about me? You know? And my thing for me is that, you know, it was when I decided to go into psychiatry, I was like, you know, folks need good psychiatrists too. Everybody, why psychiatry, man? Why don't you go do family practice? You're so good over here. You're so good over there. I was like, well, you know, this is the thing that matters to me. Cause if you can't keep your mind right, then nothing else really matters.
That's fire. I wanted to do stuff similar to you, but it's too much years in school. It was, you had to do a lot.
Here's what I would share with you. You don't have to be a doctor in order to help people, right? Think about how many people you're helping right now just for being who you are, doing the thing you're doing.
2.5 million. Just wanted to put it out there.
That, right?
A lot.
Think about that. Right?
2.5 million, dude.
A lot.
Right? But,
is this a new show? Do we just think of a new show, me and you? Like Doc and Doc and Lil Doc? Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
You just cut me out. You just cut us out. That's
Hey, y'all be our first patients.
Wait, and isn't that we?
We can test y'all first. It's like it's like catfish. You know they got like Neve, but then they got the other person.
They got
Doc is Doc. I'm the other person. Okay. I didn't go to school for it, but my voice is the voice of the young people. You know.
The school is good. You know, the school part is good. 5 years of college, 4 years of med school, 5 years of residency. Two of that was for kids. So that part's good. It teaches you the things not to do.
I did four.
That was the way it stops.
But the larger part of what I do, man, is just showing up and figuring out what it is about this person I can love. You know what I mean? And how can I tap into that part? And that's not really something any school is going to be able to teach you. You know, it's just a human thing. You know, hey, I care about who you are. I want to see you do your best. I accept all of who you are right now, faults and all. And let's just, you know, let's figure out how to move forward.
As a psychiatrist, I'm sorry, my apologies. I keep saying therapist. As a psychiatrist, and with, you know, with helping these people this is a two-part question. One, is there a space to quantify failure or success? And if there is, how do you quantify a failure or if there is space for that?
Yeah, I think I don't really look at it like that. I look at it as everything is a success. Everything always goes to the good, right? Whether you take 10 steps forward, five steps, or baby step, it's still a step, right? As long as you learn something new about yourself, then that's a success to me, right? If I'm working with a couple, sometimes my biggest successes are the couples who I help break up, because you're just not ready to be in a loving, wholehearted relationship with another human, because you got some unhealed childhood wounds over here that you got to address first before you can do that other thing effectively. And so for, you know, what I end up doing, man, is I end up helping people manage a lot of the crisis of their lives from crisis to crisis, from moment to moment. And we all gather up, you know, we all got a tool bag. And as we move through life, we end up, you know, we picked up a tool over here, picked up a hammer here. I got a saw now. I got a couple screwdrivers, and we're just picking up as many tools as we can. So when those crises hit, we can reach in the bag and have something to help us work it out.
Okay. And I always want to ask this. I ask this to anybody who I know, you know, deals in the mental health field or emotions. Actually, it's another two-part question. One, what is toxicity? Like in today, in 2020, what is toxicity?
Toxicity is anything that makes you feel bad.
I'll be real, Mouse.
That's very simple.
On behalf of me and my new business partner, I could have answered that.
No.
I could have answered that.
No. Right? The reason I asked that question
is I'll tell you the reason why you asked. Because his answer was not what attracts you, the toxic man, to toxic energy, because you like that shit. And that does not mean that the normal toxic is good, because the normal toxic is something that treats you bad. But you just happen to like that shit. So
I love toxicity.
See what I'm saying? He didn't expect you to say something positive.
No, I didn't expect you to say that, or I expect you to be like this big, ugly thing. When you said the show, like, what Kanye said, why everything that make me feel bad makes me feel so good.
and understand, right, what's toxic for me might not be toxic for you.
Ooh,
right? Everybody's got a different personality, right? And so something, you know, what's a strength for me may be a weakness for somebody else. And so what I view as toxic, you may be like, oh no, this is good information. Let me show you how we use that, you know? And so it's always about your personality, how that fits into your life. But when we talk about toxic relationships, toxic friendships, you know, toxic habits that most of us have, it's those things that keep you from, in the words of Tony Baker, from being your fully realized self, you know?
Okay.
Now, can two toxic people have a healthy toxic relationship?
Never.
But what if your toxic, like you said, depends on what's toxic to you. What if what you do, it that's toxic to them, they love, and what they do that's toxic to you, you love, and everything else is good. But there's some problems, but they kind of balance out.
So it may balance out today, but it's not going to balance out tomorrow, okay. Right? Because I'm 48. The things that I used to love at 28, I don't love no more. Right. Matter of fact, I hate a lot of it, you know? And so as people progress, this is the problem we get into in relationships. As I change and the things I used to be into, I'm no longer into. The things that used to work for me no longer work for me. You forget to tell your partner, right? So as you grow, you know, in your 20s, those relationships about, hey, you know what? I'm trying to be who they want. This is what I want, so I'm going to be who they want. In your 30s, you're like, okay, let me try to do some things that, you know, help them feel good. In your 40s, you're like, okay, let's do those things that help me feel good. So as you kind of progress, you're going to change and you're going to want to leave some of those toxic things behind, but we never progress in the same fashion at the same rate. And so if your partner isn't on that same toxicity curve as you, then ultimately you're going to end up growing apart.
What if those toxic things that you outgrow are attributed to somebody you can't leave alone?
Well, then that means they have power over you. Right?
What is this thing called? Is that what they call a trauma bond?
It could be a trauma bond. It could be one of those things that I'm not aware of why I like the things I like. So what are we doing in relationships? The reason we like who we like is because we think this person can help us be whole, right? Our brain, I know where my weaknesses are. I know what I need to work on. So if I have a problem, let's say I got a problem telling people no, I want to be attracted to somebody who doesn't. I want to be attracted to somebody who tells people no all day long, 1,000 times a day, because with them, I feel whole, right? And so you got to figure out what are those areas with me that helps, that's attracting me there. So yeah, it could be a trauma bond. It could be those areas where I wish I could do the things that Mouse could do. So I like being around Mouse because you know what? He shows me how to do those things and I feel whole. I feel more a fuller version of myself when I'm with them. And so it's a lot of that, but make no mistake. Everything we do is for us to help us feel good and to help us feel whole.
Like, no, how did you get to be so good at this? Like,
did you see how many years of school he said?
This don't mean
I tell you,
and it's not just school.
The school is
it got to be. You know? It got to be in you.
The school is a credential, but it's just. I think it's just who I am, man. If you could have been in my elementary school in the sixth grade, folks is out on the playground playing. I'm in the classroom, and it's like five or six girls around me, and they're complaining about their boyfriends. That's just what it was. So I think it's probably everybody's got a different mix of energy, you know, masculine and feminine. I grew up in a house full of women. I grew up learning how to listen and being real in touch with the emotional side of things. And so it feels natural to me. But it's just, I think it's a big part of just kind of who I am, man, showing up and trying to relate and do the thing.
Now, going back to what you were speaking about before, when you were talking about like people being able to compartmentalize and not be their full selves, do you think there's a lack of vulnerability? Do you think somebody who is not vulnerable to others still loves somebody? Like maybe somebody who may not be able to receive love, do you still think they're able to properly pour out love? And how long do you think that lasts?
I mean, you know, nobody's 100% vulnerable, right? And so we're all on the scale. And so, yeah, if you're not 100% vulnerable, can you still love? Do you still have the ability to love? Yeah, you can still love. It's not going to be a full wholehearted love, right? Because to be a full wholehearted love, you've got to be able to accept all of who that person is and pour that love into them every single day of the week. And you've got to be able to allow them to pour that back into you.
Now, can you make that part make sense to me? Because that's me. I literally just asked you a question for me. Like, yeah. I am the person.
He's trying to get free. He's trying to get a free session.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's why I asked him to make it make sense. I'm looking at this from a pure logical standpoint, right?
About you.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
See the first word you're about to say?
Me.
I. Trying to get a free session, Doc.
I want you to shut the hell up. That's what I need.
tell them to come on the show. You'll be the first guest on the show, man.
Now you go with the show.
Ish, I'm thinking the show.
Wait,
is
now
about,
it's Ish?
About, listen,
now
listen,
it's Ish?
Look, that's my man, Ish. I'm thinking the show it should be about people who are afraid to come to counseling.
That's That's what I'm thinking.
And we break it open. We break the door open.
moving along.
So how can, if you're not, how can I be in a fully, you know, in a fully wholehearted relationship if I can't be fully vulnerable? Well, the thing that helps you feel really in love is knowing that I showed this person all of who I was, everything, right? I showed them the shiny parts and I showed them the ugly small bits that I keep in the closet in the back, right? And they loved all of it, right? They accepted all of it. They didn't shame me for any of it. They never betrayed me to anybody for any of it, right? That's the thing that helps you know that I am fully loved. And that's the thing that helps you wake up every single day and do whatever you can to help that partner feel fully loved. So, you know, it's going to be different levels. So, you know, and we're all trying to get to that ultimate level, understanding we ain't never going to get there. We live on Earth and Earth is hard, right? And America is hard and being Black is hard. Right. We're never going to get fully there, but we're always going to be trying to get to that next level. But so it's possible. And the more you are, you're going to find that the amount of satisfaction you get out of a relationship is directly proportional to the amount of yourself you're able to share. And the amount of yourself you're able to share is directly proportional to the amount of vulnerability that you allow yourself to feel.
I think anyone could look at my social media and tell, like, I'm a huge Hove fan. And I remember he said on 444, I'll never forget, like, when 444 dropped and he was rapping on at 444, he says, you can't heal what you never reveal. And I was like,
yep.
Well, what do you need to heal that for? Like, what if you already passed that thing? What if there is no healing for those things? Like, what if just continuing to mule and trying to fix this thing that is unfixable, you're focusing more energy on that than when you could just be moving ahead? No,
because when you do the mule thing, what you're really doing is you're just out here hustling for your happiness. You know what I mean? Well, I think if I get the next thing, if I just push forward and I can do this other thing and then I can be happy if I do that. And then if I get this and this falls into place, I can be happy. But here's the thing. We were all born in a perfect sense of healing. We were born whole, right? That's our natural state, is healed, unhurt, and whole. That's our natural state. That's how we were born. And so we're constantly trying to get back to that point. And so you've got to do it. At every point in your life, there are going to be things you needed to heal at 20 before you can move on to be a successful 30-year-old. There are going to be things you need to heal at 30 before you can move on to be a successful 40-year-old, whatever success means for you, right? In all these different areas. And so, you know, the goal is to be as whole as possible so you can live as wholehearted a life as possible. So you can look and find something to love and accept about everybody you meet. And oh, by the way, you feel comfortable enough showing them the thing that they should be loving about you. And so you gotta heal that thing. You have to. We all got those unhealed childhood wounds. We've all got those scars. And it all directly relates to our attachment style in a relationship, right?
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna ask, is that directly related or correlated? Is that always correlated to what do you call it? To like your parents, like when they say mommy issues, daddy issues, like
that's a part of it. That's the first place where we learn about rejection, right? Because when we were babies, all we had to do was cry and somebody would come bring us a bottle, right? I didn't have to do much and they met my needs. Once I got to kindergarten, now I got to get an A. I got to come home with good report card for you to be happy with me, right? We start to learn that who we are isn't enough as soon as we leave the house. There are things I've got to do to earn your appreciation, to earn your time, your attention, your affection. I got to be good in school. I got to get good grades. I got to be a good boy or a good girl, right? I got all these other things. And so we just keep piling more and more and more and more on. And so, yeah, your parenting, the parenting style that was in the house, whether it's a single parent home or, you know, or you have both, that's a big part of it. And then that teaches you how you need to go out and show up in the world to get the rest of the love you need. So yeah, it really starts there.
I always talk about, we all understand when it comes to like our households and growing up, and that's the way we look at certain things in a different light. But I feel like for me right now in life, it's just, it being able to look, it's not even look for the right person for me or for someone else. It's just being able to open up and being, like you said, being able to just put everything on the table and somebody accepts you for that. And even the good things that I won't lie, like in my past, I didn't do the most exceptional things for my girlfriends and all. I did amazing things, but now doing little things that just flowers here. The little things count. And as you get older, you start to see it. And it ain't just about the big, huge gift. Right. The person that can accept you for the little things that you do is the person I feel like will really understand you.
And right, you know what?
I have a question.
I want to hear his answer. Are you going to go over my question?
Sorry. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, so the little things matter so much because it's the little things that let me know that you see me, right? Everybody, you know, every girl likes flowers, right? That's not unique to me, right? But, oh, you saw that this is the thing I really like and you took the time and the effort to do that. Now you see me, right? And remember, we all want the same three things. You want to be seen, heard, understood. You show up and you do those things every day.
Definitely a win.
That's a win.
It's a win. It takes time and you got to really understand yourself before you take on somebody else in your life. So I feel like that's the biggest thing for me is understanding if I'm ready for that or I know I can't like put a time on being ready or what, how to act when I'm ready, but it's like, just be prepared for when that situation comes, how I'm going to treat it and how I'm going to protect myself, but also open up.
Well, so yeah. So what you want to do is you just want to be able to let it in. It's going to come knocking. You just got to have sense enough to let it in. And that takes courage, right? Because the thing that we've all been taught is that happiness isn't going to last. That joy isn't going to last, right? With joy is the hardest feeling we have that to feel consistently. Let me tell y'all the story. You're going to tell me what happens, right? I'm going to start this story, y'all, and then y'all each are going to tell me what happens next. Christmas morning, right? Christmas morning, you got a mom and a dad in the car, right? They're driving down the highway. They got two little kids in the back seat. One's 3 years old, one's 5 years old, right? They start, the Christmas song comes on, the kids are singing along, and everybody's happy going to grandma's house, and mom and dad look at each other, and they're like, you know, why not? Let's just all join in, right? And so this is the scene, and they're driving down the road, and as they're about to go underneath the bridge, what happens?
Something bad happens automatically. Car crash, something, anything happens.
I'm scared. What happened?
So they terrified. So
nothing good happens, I'm pretty sure.
I've seen this movie a million times.
Right.
I think something good happened.
So the natural human thought is something bad will happen.
See, that's why I said something good happened.
Because who we are is not worthy of sustaining that joyful moment. Right. And so we all have that never enough itis. Right. And so that's what it is. When the good comes knocking, you got to just let it in and you got to say, hey, you know what? Who I am is good enough to have all of that. And I'm just going to let it alone. You know,
what about
I'm not going to fuck myself out of it.
What about practicality, though, Doc? Like, what about that? What if now let's say I'm all right. Obviously me. Like I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that with some people, I'll look and I'll be like, oh man, everything goes, yeah, man. Like if I'm looking, I'm like, oh yeah, that works for y'all. But for me, I almost have to look at it like, okay, this will be here for this moment, but let me prepare. Like, okay, I might have blocked the hook, but that left card, that left is coming. I gotta prepare for the left now. Or I'm gonna be so worried about successfully blocking that hook, I'm wide open. You're gonna punch my face off.
Right. So what actually are you doing when you're doing that? What is it? You say, okay, I got to block. I got to prepare for the hook that's coming. What is it that you're actually doing in that moment?
I'm looking and saying, oh, okay, this was good. This is good that this is happening. But I know it ain't going to be here long. Let me prepare for when it's not going to be here.
But what if you were to think, and I'm just speaking kind of on like how he said that movie kind of will go. What if you thought like, yo, I blocked this and I'm good, but I'm so nice that the next punch, I know it ain't going to hit me. I'm going to always be prepared, but I'm going to think positive about it. do you then think it would be a positive ending?
Not unless my name Floyd Mayweather.
So what Mouse is doing is what we all do, and he's just protecting, right? Mm-hmm. We try to prepare for the hurt because we don't want it to sneak up on us. So our thought process is, nah, you're not going to get me. I'm going to beat the hurt to the punch, and I'm going to do something, right? And so that's what we're trying to do. Yeah, this is good, but I know it ain't going to last. And when it stops lasting, that's really going to hurt. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and prepare for that. Even if it makes me miss out on someone to join this moment, right? And so what if you just believe something different? What if you just believed, yeah, you know what? It's nice now and it's going to be nice later. The end. What if you just told yourself a different story? What if you just had a different narrative? You know what? Who I am, I see people out there and I'm on the gram and I'm on Twitter. I know folks got this happiness. I know they have joy. I know it's possible. What's so different about me than them? What if who I am is truly enough to get it too? And what if you just start telling yourself that? And what if you start telling yourself, hey, right? When the stuff does happen that's disappointing, right? What's the word I'm going to use for it? Did it hurt or did it just disappoint me a little bit, right? Did it crush me or did it just make me a little sad? Did it destroy me? Or was I just a little aggravated, right? We got to use some different words to describe how we feel, because if we can use those different words, now it don't hurt so bad and we can move on with our life in a joyful manner.
Hey, Doc, how do we get you? We need to figure this out.
We already figured it out when you stepped away, Mac. He said he's only going to take Ryan's share of the money. And then
makes sense. I like that.
Me and you are good, and he'll come back every month. It's like doing a little checkup,
He only said he's gonna take my cut of the money because we started our own show together. So it's just startup costs.
Ryan definitely started his show with him. Yeah, he cut us out. He said that we could. He said that me and you could be the first guests.
Wow. First Ryan Leslie. First you leave us for Ryan Leslie. Now Dr. Ish. What is wrong with you?
I always wanted to be a doctor.
The boy's not loyal, boy.
I always wanted to be a doctor, man.
Dr. Ish, what do you call that when a nigga ain't loyal to his brother? What do you call that?
Help. It's helpful. I'm helpful. I might not be there when you need me, but I'm always there on time.
Jesus Christ. We've had you for a little over an hour. I want to thank you, Dr. Ish. Typically what we do is we read a listener letter, but we're not gonna bombard you with our raggedy.
I was about to say we're not gonna taint this good moment.
They are raggedy, and I'm trying to be selfish and keep all your good advice to us. So I'm gonna say I think you've been subbing me all episodes. So Mac Ryan, do y'all have like a fake listener letter for yourselves for Dr. Ish?
I don't want to go. I know Ish gonna come back on. I don't want to give too much of what I'm going through in my life to the people right now. You know, I'd rather hide
from our listeners. Yeah. Don't hide from our listeners, Ryan. Just be open.
We, this was about you.
No, it wasn't. It was about you. Yo, what the fuck is wrong with this?
The people will learn about me at a later date. I can have Ish. You stay on the East Coast.
Why
West Coast?
You keep calling him Ish?
I'm East Coast, man. We can do this. We can do this every month, man. It'll be our monthly therapy session.
I need it. I know I need it.
I love it.
I've gone through some trials, some tribulations in my life. I need some talks.
Oh yeah. Oh, we all have. And so when you say that, I've been through some trials and some tribulations, and it's still okay.
Can I add, then if that's the case, let's flip this and give yourself a listener letter. Can you remember or recall like the worst moment in your life where you needed to be there for yourself in that same way? And like how you pulled yourself out of that being a psychiatrist?
Oh man. So many, man. You know, the
scary part.
Right.
Why, how do you say so many and still be willing to go through it again?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, that's the difference between courage and bravery, right? You just gotta risk it. You know, it's not going to kill you. And if it does, that's still okay. The coolest things that have ever happened in my life always came right after I fell right out of the sky, man. You know, and so I'll tell you a story to sum it up for me. My right out of med school, my first practice was with my sister and the woman I thought I was going to marry, two psychologists and me, the MD, and life was just like perfect, right? We were, it was the mom and the dad and the two kids in the car driving down the highway. Only a matter of time before that bomb hits and blows it all up, and the bomb blew it all up, right? We had no idea what we were doing, didn't know how to run a business for shit. we lost money. However a business could fail, we failed spectacularly. So we lost the business, you know, lost the girl, everything, you know, didn't even know if I was going to be able to practice medicine anymore because it was such a
Jesus Christ. Grew up,
you know what I mean? And so I'm like, oh my God, I let everybody down. You know, I let my mom down. I let my daddy down. All my sisters. I had 40 people show up to my med school graduate. I let everybody down. And so I'm like, what do I do now? Right. What do I have now? Who am I now if I don't have that? And so I'll never forget, man. I was living in Florida at the time, and you know, it was so bad till I actually ended up moving from that state, moving back home, because I was like, there's nothing left here. There's literally nothing left. And so I drove home, man, and it was like a 3-hour drive. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, man, Duval. And I drove back home, man. I cried all the way. And then when I got to the house, man, my daddy opened the door, and he was like, you know, she's upstairs. My mom was already, you know, sick in bed at that point. I walked up those stairs, man, and I kneeled down next to her bed, and I was like, you know, I was like, I'm sorry, I messed up and I lost it, you know. And she looked at me, man, and she said, who you are is something that nobody can ever take away, right? The thing that you have that makes you you. It didn't come in a book. It didn't come in a license. It didn't come in a degree. It's something nobody can ever take away. And you don't need to be a doctor in order to share that with people. And in that moment, she just made it all okay, right? And I realized there was more to me than the thing I did, right? It's not about the doctor thing. It's not about whatever trappings come with that. Who you are is not what you do, right? Because if that's all you are, then who are you when you are no longer able to do those things? And so for me, I was like, okay, how else can I share the gift? How else can I help folks? So I sat down, I was like, well, I got all these stories in my head about, you know, relationships and stuff like that. And so as I'm killing time trying to figure out what I'm going to do next, I just started writing down little stories, man, a page at a time, here and there. One page turned into two, turned into 10, turned into a chapter. Those chapters turned into a book, and that book got very popular. And, you know, one day out of the blue, the Today Show calls me and they're like, hey, we heard about this book. We want you to come up here and talk about it. I was like, all right. So I get on a plane. I fly to New York. You got Holder and Kathy Lee over here. You got Al Roker doing the weather. I'm like, that's my man right there. I look behind me, and they got people with all the signs like I've been seeing on TV for years. And in that moment, y'all, it felt like I had been doing it for 20 years. You know what I mean? But none of that would have happened had I not had that horrific failure and dropped out of the sky and lost it all, right? And so you just got to know the universe is always working out in your favor, whether it feels good or not, whether you think so or not. It is always teaching you the thing that you're going to need for that next level self that you're going to be. And you just got to trust in that process, man. And so that's, you know, that's one of my epic dreams. I have many.
Yeah. Yo, Doc.
Thank you.
Remember that? You know that place Mouse was a little while ago where he's about to cry? Yeah, that was real.
That was actually, Dr. Ish didn't know that. That was actually in our private group chat, but now he knows. Thanks, Mac. Appreciate it.
Ryan definitely said it.
Said it in a joking manner.
That's strength right there, buddy. If you can't cry,
again, like you said, on the real, man, you had to fall out of the sky before you realize where you are, or just you need that reassurance that you that you aren't who you aren't what you do, right? You know, as a person, you are who you are. And that's something that I've been struggling with, especially during quarantine, you know, not being able to work or do things that I know I'm great at doing.
Right.
You start feeling like a failure. That's that right. was Thank you for that.
Yeah, and that ain't it, man. You know, we're so much more than the thing people can see and the thing people can do. And you know, as brothers, we're always struggling with that. You know, it's like, how do I show my worth? How do I show the world my value? I know it, but how do I make y'all see it? And so we just gotta let that go. We gotta let that part go, man. Yeah.
Woo! Dr. Ish, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to attempt to lighten this up by asking you to drop a song on the Get the Drawers playlist. So obviously the Get the Drawers playlist, it's a very real playlist. Y'all can download you guys can download the playlist on Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music. I believe that's all for right now. It is being updated as Chasey's Fit at this moment. But listen, y'all get these records. So yes, Dr. Ish, if you are, before I ask you this question, very fat, very quick. If the answer is quick, if it's not, it's your world. Is it rough or is it difficult to date as a psychiatrist? Because are you able to turn off the part where you're diagnosing someone, or do you have to kind of date somebody on that same level? Or like, do you have to date another psychiatrist?
No, man, that's a good question. No, I will very rarely date another doctor or another psychiatrist just because it's different, right? It's the thing you do, but then when you're in it, I'm in it like everybody else. Well, I get my ass kicked like everybody else. It's like, you know, folks would be like, wait, I thought you were a relationship expert. You're horrible at this.
I mean, hey, I was to say, hey, they say that people who can't play coach. So that's you are, right.
And,
you are a great coach.
And another saying in that same vein, Mac, is we all teach the thing we need the most, right?
Oh, yep. Shit.
So that's why I do the thing, because that's the thing I need the most. You know, I need that love and connection and belonging the most. And so that's the thing I try to teach, because every time I can help somebody with it, it helps me believe, yeah, it's possible to get there.
And I always ask, I even asked Mac that question early on in our friendship. I was like, as an R&B singer, like,
yeah,
women hold on to the word you're singing and the word you're saying. So, like, is it possible to mess up and girls be like, nigga, you just were singing about this, but now look at you. So I guess it's on the same thing, because I think we've all dealt with it on the show. Like, we might say some fire shit, and then you get home and your girl like, that's
right.
Right. Funny how you get it when nobody's around, but with
me.
but yes. So if you're setting the mood, Dr. Ish, give us one song that you are dropping on the Get the Drawers playlist.
Oh man, I gotta hit him with the Prince, Adore.
Ho!
I mean, yeah.
Boom! Doctor Ish is not new to this.
No more words necessary. You just Prince do all the talking.
I'm gonna follow that up with, because you said Prince, Adore, I'm not gonna double down on the Prince, but I'm gonna go Melissa Morgan's version of Prince's Do You.
Ooh, yeah.
Prince remake.
Yeah.
Mac Wilds, it's on you.
Oh man.
I'm coming over here. I don't got none today. I gave all my sermons away.
Well, you better look in your phone for something.
Yeah, about to say you better find it, because I'm literally doing that right now.
Right now. Man.
You know, it's the wording, the words of this song don't necessarily evoke sex or anything like that, but I think the feeling of it is very much in the vein that our playlist. Body Ain't Me by Pink Sweats.
I thought you were gonna say Give Me the Loop by Biggie.
No, okay.
I thought
no, sir.
Give Me the Loop is
kind of
sexy. It's kind of sexy. A little bit.
I could do Give Me the Loop.
Give Me the Loop. Give Me a little bit of aggression.
Yeah,
I can do. Give Me the Loop.
That's what you're going with, Ryan. You're going Give Me the Loop, Biggie.
Wow.
I'm gonna go. Frank Ocean, Thinking About You.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. A solid one. Solid one. Well, Dr. Ish, we thank you for this episode. We can't wait to have you back. Please let the people know how they can support you, where they can get your books, where they could follow you, all the good stuff.
Yeah, man. Go to the website, drishmajor.com. It's just my name, drishmajor.com. Got some cool free stuff you can download there. Got a couples compatibility quiz we give every couple who comes on the show. You can download that for free. Wow. Got a take-home boot camp you can do there. You can kind of follow along over 6 weeks. You know, go through each one of those 6 weeks of relationship killers talking about communication and trust and cheating and how to forgive and how to get over stuff. So that's really cool. Obviously, follow me on the gram, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook. Same thing, Dr. Ish Major, man.
When you come back, we definitely going to talk about how to forgive.
We're going
to talk about that.
I'm about to say, that's the next one. We need that.
Actually, now that I think about it, Mac, it's completely up to you. But do you think maybe for Patreon, you and my sister can take the compatibility quiz?
She got next week on the guys. Hey, guys,
real man, I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Anytime I can spend with brothers who are doing something good for the people, man, I always enjoy it. Because, you know, Judge says it all the time. I say it too. It matters to me that our people do well. You know what I mean? And it matters to me that our brothers do well, man. So I appreciate y'all. And I appreciate y'all having me on.
Will you tell the judge to tell our publicist to pick up? We've been trying to get the judge for a while now. We've been trying to get Judge Lynn.
I'll text, man. I'll tell her.
Please tell her. Because we tell her we ain't. Yeah. We might not be much, but we ain't as bad as they say we are.
Exactly.
I am, but they're not. So if you add it up, on average, we're not as bad as they say we are. Dr. Ish, thank you once again.
Appreciate y'all, guys.
And you guys at home, make sure you follow Dr. Ish, make sure you support whatever. Make sure if you're in a relationship, matter of fact, I implore you guys right now, if you guys listen and you guys are members of the Guy Next Door neighborhood, we want you and your significant other to go take the compatibility quiz and then tell us how it went. So email us how
about to say, let us know. Mouse, I'm gonna do it, but I don't know if I'm gonna put it on the Patreon.
I mean, it's Patreon, bro. They gotta pay for it. It's not like they're gonna see it for free.
We could just put it at the
about to say, I'm nervous tier. of that answer.
We can put it like $100 tier.
Yeah, yo, 150 tier. 150 tier. Only the people with 150 is here. Think of what you're doing for us.
We're gonna see.
But yes, but you guys who ain't got shit to lose, take the compatibility quiz. Let and email guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. Let us know what your results were. Let us know to talk about it. It would be easier on Che if y'all just sent a video, but type it up if you have to. If you guys have a letter that you want written, that you want read on air, make sure you send it to guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. Make sure you put your own fake name in the subject line, or Che is going to read what's in front of her, very Ron Burgundy style. If it is a relationship question, which it doesn't have to be, if it is a relationship question, please send in a picture of you and your significant other, because I don't want to be giving fat people advice to a skinny person, and I don't want to give ugly advice to a good-looking person. I want to keep the playing fields even. I want to keep everything in the work. Balance. See, Dr. Ish, that's the toxicity they was talking about. There we go. And make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Guys Next Door Pod. If you want to continue the conversation on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag Guys Next Door. Make sure you follow us at patreon.com for all you Hakeems, all you Kimmy Gibblers, and you freeloading moochers who just this content and don't put no snaps on the petrol. Go to the Patreon, sign up, pay something. Put some money in some black folk pocket. Now, if you are in a pandemic and not a bandemic and you get this for free, that's fine. All we ask that you go subscribe, leave a comment, preferably one, and leave a rating. 5 stars. I'm going to ask for 5 stars just like an Uber driver. 5 stars. And to be honest, that's it for us. I'm Mouse Jones.
I'm Mac Wilds.
I'm Flora.
And we are the Guys Next Door.
The Guys Next Door.
That's Mouse Jones. It's the guy.